Many of you have already experienced the thing that happens as we get older. It seems that we tend to lose things a little more often, doesn't it? And for some people, as we consider that reality that's happening to us in growing older, I've heard some people say, well, I don't lose things, I just forget where I put them. And, you know, as we think about that, it comes to mind this doctrine of salvation and eternal security. This is an awesome thing for me to be able to preach on this morning, because this is something that I struggled with myself personally years ago, until one evening I heard Dr. Charles Stanley teach about it on the radio, and it became so clear to me then that it almost gave me a new sense of life. It is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Some call it assurance of our faith. And it deals with the question that someone asks, can we lose our salvation? Some people often are concerned and they say to me, I don't think I'm good enough to go to heaven. Or I don't know if I've done the things right in my life. I don't know if I'm being good enough. And as we talk about that, we talk about what it means to become a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, and how through faith in Jesus Christ we're promised eternal life. We become Christians, we're new creations, that God gives us new life. We're born again through the Spirit that lives in us, and God puts His Holy Spirit in us to dwell in us until we die and then beyond. To answer the question correctly, we have to consider this question Christologically, meaning in terms of Jesus and who He is and what He's done, spiritually, in terms of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here in God's Word, and also biblically, in terms of what God means to teach us here. When we do that, we find that it is possible to lose our hope. We find it is possible to lose our assurance in our minds. But it's not possible to lose our salvation. Salvation is a now and future thing. It's not something we're going to have. It's something we possess right now. Salvation in Jesus Christ is mine. It's my treasure. It's something that I hold near and dear that we have right now in this life. It's our salvation. And salvation is for those who are Christ's sheep, His flock, His followers, as He calls them in the Gospels. He makes this clear in our text today. Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Dedication in wintertime. The Jews came around Him and said, well, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you the Christ? Tell us plainly. Well, Jesus had been trying to tell them that. We learned this as we studied the Gospel of John, that in all that Jesus did and all that He said, everything that Jesus did and said in life, gave that message to the people, gave them the signs, the words, that He was the Messiah. But He says, I told you, but you didn't believe. You didn't believe me. The miracles that I do speak for me, but you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Two key words here that He says twice. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, we learn four things here. Jesus' sheep are His followers. His followers are those who believe in Him. John had already made this clear in the first chapter that to those who received Him, to those who believed in Him, He gave the right to become children of God, born of God, not of natural birth or of a man's idea, but born of God. His followers are those who believe in Him. His followers are safe and secure in His hands. And His followers are safe and secure in the hands of God. And that Jesus and God being one and the same, both are clutching tightly His followers. so that no one can snatch them out of their hands. No one. I want to repeat that. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So as we read over this and we think about this concept, can we lose our salvation? Several questions come up there. I think are five that came to mind, and I want to answer some of those. First of all, who can take believers out of the hand of Jesus, our God? Jesus says no one. In Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote to the Roman believers, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, which he talks about to the Ephesians, the principalities of darkness, the dark rulers, the evil spirits, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm convinced that none of these can separate us. Who can take believers out of the hands of Jesus our God? No one. Question number two, why do Christians have to ask for forgiveness then? If we are forgiven, we come to Christ, our sins are removed, why do we have to ask for forgiveness? And the answer to this is that we still continue to sin in the fleshly body. And when we sin, we lose fellowship with our Savior and God. In other words, we lose that close fellowship. And God will step back and allow us to do it our way. Until we realize our way is the wrong way, and we repent and turn back to Him. And He says, I'm right here waiting for you, and takes us back into His loving arms. John talks about this in his first letter, in chapter 1. This is the message that we've heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, in Him there's no darkness. Meaning God is truth, in Him there's no error at all. So if we claim to have fellowship with God, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't live by the truth. In other words, if we say, oh, you know, I have fellowship with God, but we're out just sinning and doing the things we want to do, and we say we have fellowship with God, we're lying. That's not true. We lose fellowship with God. But he says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. He goes on to say, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, and he's writing to believers now, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We have one that speaks to the Father in our defense. Dr. James Montgomery Boyce, the famous preacher of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, once said, when a Christian sins, they don't fall out of grace, they fall into grace. God is already there with His arms ready to catch us when we sin against Him and rebel against Him. We don't fall out of God's grace. God says, you're already mine. I forgive you before you even commit the sin. The argument against this, that which causes us to doubt and to lose our hope and to question our assurance, which many people do nowadays, they question, am I going to lose my salvation? A lot of that questioning is based in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 6, the writer says it's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, it's impossible if they fall away to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they're crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting Him to public disgrace. What the writer is saying, that it is impossible for those who have been enlightened or experienced God's grace, they've been illuminated through the knowledge of the truth, they've tasted it, and they've received a share of the Holy Spirit who worked in their life trying to bring them to salvation in Jesus Christ, it's impossible that if they turn away, if they spit it out, if they reject that, there's no other way to be brought back to repentance. that Jesus is the only way. You see, these people were enlightened. They received the knowledge. They tasted it, but they didn't swallow it. They didn't ingest it as truth. They didn't take it inside. And it's impossible that if they reject it and fall away, there's no other way to be brought back than through Jesus. The example he uses is land and rain. Land that drinks in the rain that falls on it and produces a crop receives the blessing of God. Land that produces thorns and thistles, this land who receives the rain but produces thorns and thistles, is worthless and it's in danger of being cursed. In the end, it's going to be burned up. So what he's saying here is that those who receive the Word of God and the truth of God receive it and accept it deep into the depths of their soul and accept it will produce for the Lord. But those who reject it will be cursed. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer says, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let's be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of the promise. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. He's talking about two groups of people here. And he's saying, well, let's make sure, let's be careful that we aren't of the group that rejects the truth. Because, like us, these other people heard, but they didn't combine it with faith, and they rejected it. But now we who have believed enter that rest. We enter that rest. The key to understanding this whole thing is found in Ephesians, my favorite book of the Bible. I just absolutely love the book of Ephesians because Ephesians is a book of assurance and perseverance for us. And the key to understanding the roots of our Christian faith and our position as Christians and Christ's power in saving us and keeping us is found here. He writes to the believers in Ephesus, "You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. But that's not all. Having believed this truth, this gospel, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." So in other words, what he's saying to them, you heard the word, you received it, you actually believed it and accepted it as truth, and at that time the Holy Spirit sealed you as God, came to live inside you, and is a guarantee that when the day comes for God to come back in Jesus Christ to redeem his possession, our guarantee is that we're going up because we are his. We have his seal on us. And Paul prayed that the Ephesian believers would know of the power of Christ in being able to accomplish this and give us assurance. He was praying for them that they might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they may be enlightened, that they might have the hope to which God had called them, and that they might have the incomparably great power for us who believe, the resurrection power that God showed in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at God's right hand, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and every title that can be given in the present age and in the age to come. You see, our salvation is not based on our power. It's not based on our works. It's not based on anything we can do. It's based on God's grace in calling us to Jesus Christ and in receiving him and believing in him and accepting him as Lord and Savior. Our future is secure and sealed because God ordained it to be so. Paul reminds them, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions." In their old condition, they were dead when they followed the ways of the world. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. In other words, we didn't have to be good for God to save us. God chose to save us even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. He made us alive. The old self is dead, died, and we are born again, reborn again. And you can't be unborn. When you're born again from above, we can't be unborn against the power of God. And not only that, not only did God give us a new condition, not only did God make us alive, not only are we born again, but we're saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to think about this a little bit. Think about the words He's using here. When we receive Jesus Christ, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, we're raised and we're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ, and Christ has all the power over principalities and authorities and rulers, so that no one can snatch us out of His hands. And we have a position with Jesus Christ right now. You see, even though we're Christians, we're going to sin, even though this, as long as we live in this fleshly body, and this body uses the law of sin and death through our fleshly desires, we're going to sin. But we still belong to Jesus. We're God's children. Just in the same way that when my kids reject me and they don't listen to me and they rebel against me, I'm angry at them, but they're still my children. Nothing can take that away because they are born of me. They are my children. In the same way, when we're born again through receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are His children. Nothing can change that. Nothing can separate us from God. Question 3, what does this have to do with us today? You can't imagine how many people spend a lot of time trying to be good people because they're afraid of losing their salvation. Have fun with that. I'm out doing what God wants me to do. And that's what we should be doing. Because it's the enemy that tries to convince us that we're not good enough. It's already been determined. You see, the enemy uses our actions and words to make a mockery of God and to make fools of us so that others don't desire to be Christians. The enemy goes around and says, yeah, look at those people over there going down to church. Yeah, look at what they just said. Oh, can you believe how they just treated you? You see, the enemy's trying to get the whole world not to believe. He cannot take away our salvation or snatch us out of the hands of Jesus and our God. But he'll do all he can to make a mockery of us so that others don't come to Christ. But we're still Christians. We're forgiven, we're saved, we're sealed, we're seated, we're safe, and we're secure. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And in our text today, he says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Well, that leads to question 4, then why do I still have so many problems? The Christian walk is a process of strengthening. John Wesley called it going on to perfection. And the Bible never promises us that in Christ Jesus life will be perfect. The Bible promises us that greater is He who's in us than he who's in the world. The Bible promises us that we will receive protection and providence in the days of our lives, because He never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Bible promises us that in the trenches of spiritual battle and warfare that we fight every day of life, Jesus is right there with us. And through Christ we overcome. Final question, most important of all. Do you know Him? Have you come to believe in Him and believe Him? Have you received Him as Lord and Savior of your life? If so, if you say, yes, I've already done that, then rest safe and secure until He comes for you, continuing to do His good will while He abides with us still. And just trust and obey. you say, well, I'm not really sure I've not done that, or I haven't done that, frankly, folks, if that's you, I'd be shaking in my shoes, considering what the Bible says about those who have rejected God's plan of salvation, regarding those who are not the sheep of the Lord Jesus. As Paul told the Corinthians, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through him. And Paul's words cry out to us over the centuries. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. And I want to encourage you today, if you are not one of his sheep, if you have not agreed to follow him, and you're following the ways of the world, I want to invite you to a better path, a more awesome way, a more divine, strong, secure, and safe, restful journey through life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Promise to his sheep who are his followers, to those who believe in him, that you're safe and secure in his hands and in the hands of Almighty God, and that nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. Absolutely nothing can separate us. He might be a little bit angry with us at times. He might be disappointed at us the way we act. But if we've received Jesus Christ, we're still his children. And someday, the Bible tells us, we will sit at his feet. Let's pray. Our God and our Lord, thank you for teaching us through your word, through your text in your textbook, from cover to cover. Oh God, your word shows us that you never just simply walk away from your people. You're always faithful to them because you promised to be. Faithful to people who have faith in you and trust you and believe in your Son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who does not understand this, who doesn't get it, who hasn't received Christ yet, that their heart might be stirred this morning by your word, your Holy Spirit might now be speaking in their ear that today's the day of salvation and that they might come to know Jesus, that they might come to confess their sin and accept him as Lord and Savior. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.